And now here's Jo Sumner with Feel Good with Jo.
Hello everyone. I'm delighted to be here for the first of this new radio feature, and joining me today is Lucinda Slater. Hi Lucinda, how are you doing?
Hi Jo, I'm very well, thank you.
Great. So we thought we'd talk about authenticity today, and the reason that we're talking about that is because you may have seen the recent Guardian article about the top regrets of the dying. It's a palliative care nurse in Australia who's pulled together the stories of people that she's worked with, nursing them on their deathbeds, and she noticed the clarity that they get and the top regret, and it really moved me, and it's moved the people that I've spoken to. The top regret is not living a life true to yourself. So I thought that we would reflect on that today. So Lucinda, what does it mean to you to live a life true to you?
I think it means to me to be the person I want to be, to do the things that I just love doing, to feel the person I want to be. And I know when that is going off course, and I've had various career changes over the years where I felt I've got into something, and then over time it builds up, you get this sensation that things are not going quite as you planned, that this is not really where you want to be heading. And so you get the feeling you've got to do something about it.
And so you talk about this sensation that things may be not on track. What is that sensation? What's the exact feeling of it?
I think the feeling I had was that I wasn't achieving my potential. I wasn't shining. I wasn't quite the person I wanted to be. Just feeling a little bit inadequate, feeling disappointed with myself. Maybe that's something I felt.
Right. So, and I think that's something that we can all relate to, those moments when we wake up in the morning and we're going off to do whatever our daily work is, and we have this moment of, is this actually really what I want to be doing with my life? And one of the things that I'm aware of affects people doing what they're really passionate about is the expectations and the obligations that we all have. So, you know, leading a family life and paying the mortgage and things like that. And how's that been for you? I mean, is that something that you've been aware of as a pressure, this juggling act of being a mum, of having bills, of having people's expectations?
I think definitely people's expectations and the pressures of daily life as well. And I think as soon as you just add being a mum into all of that, into the melting pot, that is a huge amount of responsibility and their expectations, not only that from other people, but also things that you build up for yourself. And I just think that's really hard. And the times like that, I just try to remember that I've never done this before. You know, I'm a novice at it. And so don't be hard on yourself, that you're sort of learning on the job, if you like, and just to do the best you can.
And that's one of the things that I'm regularly saying in classes. I run yoga and meditation classes from my studio. And I'm talking all the time about people upping their self-care. So when you have a day when you're feeling less confident, you're less sure of what you're doing, instead of tipping over into being hard on yourself and critical, which is so easy to do, actually being more kind, more compassionate, exactly as you've just described. So some of the things that I recommend people do are just, you know, take a walk, have a long bath, read a book that you absolutely adore, and do something that's putting something back in the tank instead of always giving out. So what sort of things do you find help you put fuel back in the tank?
Yes, I read inspirational books. There was a time when I was younger, when I was a student, when I'd love sort of anything morose and French literature and sort of doom and gloom. And
very romantic.
But yes, and it was great for a while. But now I realise that what I put in my head, the words that I read, that the stories that go into my head, I want them to be uplifting. I want them to inspire and motivate me, and to give me that aha feeling, something that just makes me smile. So I'll turn to that. And I've got a whole range of books that I have, and I just keep reading. I love reading. And that's something I know that is a quick fix.
And that what you put into your mind is such an important point, that it's going to dictate the experience that you go on to have. So I would really, really recommend the same thing. You know, the two things that I say to people is you can choose your attitude and you can choose your activity. You're not actually in control of anything else. So you need to give up this idea that you can control the way everything is going to go. You can't. You don't know what's going to happen on any given day. But you absolutely can choose what your attitude is going to be, and you absolutely can choose your activity. So I'm sure people would love to know more about what this trajectory has been like for you, what the journey has been for you. I know that you've been a nurse, you've been a lawyer, you've trained as an image consultant, you've trained in interior design. How do those things all come together, and what really gave you the indication what your path was or is?
I think it's so important to remember that you can't really work out what something is like until you're totally immersed in that world. And so you might think as a child you want to do a particular job, but you're never really going to know if this is the right fit for me until you're in it. And though it might be the right fit for other people that you don't know for yourself. So that was the case for me, with me for nursing. I absolutely loved it for a while. And then I got to the point where the morale was very low in nursing, and I felt that I needed to be doing something different. So then I just thought, it was so exciting. I thought, well, I want to go off and do a degree. And so I threw open all these prospectuses. I applied to all these different universities. And I thought, apart from astrophysics, I could probably do most things. And I think it's crucial at that time for the advice that you go for. I remember thinking I'd love to do French because I love all things to do with France. And the careers advisor said, well, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to be in a translator or do you want to be a teacher?
Right, so they made it really practical.
Yes, and very limited because, I could, you know, perhaps I'm running my own business in France. There's loads and loads of things that you can do with that. So I persevered and I chose law because there's lots of ethics in nursing and I loved it. You know, in nursing you don't have reading weeks. It was a hard physical job and the sort of education of it was on top of that. But to go to university and do nothing but study was my absolute dream to do that. And I really enjoyed it. And then I went to the city and became a city lawyer. And then subsequently, I moved on to do medical law. And all of that felt the right thing to do at the time. And I think you come to a point where you know it's time to move on. And you can ignore that sense for a while, but then the voice, the sensations get more persistent.
And so sensations wise, because I think, coming back to this, because I think it's actually very important for people, the sorts of sensations that I experienced when I was changing career, so we connect in that I had this career in medical research ethics for 10 years before I went on to do what I do now. And the sensations that I had were that dragging sensation. It's what I call shackles on rather than shackles off, something that makes you feel heavy when you think about it, something that maybe you feel just hesitant, low energy, powerless. But it can be physical. So if people have long-term physical effects happening, one of the things that they can be thinking about is, am I actually doing what I want to be doing with my life? So if I have persistent headaches, if I have persistent stomach ache, for example. So was there something as concrete as that for you?
There was for me, because I was at a teaching hospital and I went into it expecting brilliance and it to be really excellent care. And it was. But then what happened was resources got tighter in the NHS, and where you could run a ward with three of you, they would then say, right, you can do it with three. Let's see if you can do it with two. And so things were being compromised and we weren't able then to give the care that I felt I owed my patients. And I thought, this is just does not feel right. You know, things were very hard, and so I felt it was time to move on.
And so you moved on and you moved into the world of image, and that relates very strongly to what you do now, which is about managing personal brand, managing how you show up in the world. So your work is about communicating your brilliance. Tell us something about that.
I've come into this because I've come to learn firsthand the power of dressing in a particular way. When I was nursing, when I dressed wearing a smart uniform, I was neat and tidy. My patients trusted me at a time when they were the most vulnerable.
Right.
Then when I was in court, the judge would assume that I wasn't there to waste his time if I looked as though I was organised, focused and dressed smartly, which quite often didn't happen with my opponent. So that, I learnt the power of it then. And then, subsequently, as a mum, that instead of wearing loose, stretchy, easy care clothes, which just made your confidence dip right down into your boots, if I got up and put on my favourite dress and not my killer heels, because that wasn't very practical, but something that just made me feel really, really good, my confidence escalated and I felt better. So I've learned the power of clothes internally for my own personal case, and also the idea now of the messaging that we send out.
And so do you work with mums to help them build their confidence? And what would be the key things you would say to them?
My business started out working with mums. I now tend to work with women who are women and men who are becoming more senior, wanting to take the next step, because I personally love challenges, and so I like to support people who are going for these really big challenges as they progress in their careers. In terms of confidence boosting, well, clothes, how you dress, something that, understanding what it is that puts you in your power. So whether it's things like wearing your favourite bracelet that you just catch your eye of it, and it just reminds you of feeling, oh yes, you know, I really love that, and makes you smile. Or a particular favourite pair of shoes, or it could be anything at all. Because they say how you dress tells the world how you feel, and I think that is absolutely right. And it also tells you, of course, how you feel.
And that's very interesting, isn't it? Because there's going to be a lot of people who want to dress for comfort, who want to dress for practicality, who feel that it's about the inner beauty. You know, the beauty is not on the outside, it's the inner beauty that matters. And to some extent, you're challenging that. To some extent, you're saying that I'm sure you know, the inner beauty is important to you, but what you present on the outside is really important too, but to you, not just to what you present to other people.
I do. I agree. I absolutely. I mean, it's not only communicating your brilliance when you really need to get people to understand, you know, you've got the qualifications, you've got the experience, and you're the best person for the job, but also in terms of for yourself. Because if you think of yourself, well, you're wearing perhaps training bottoms and a loose sweatshirt, how are you going to be standing compared to you're wearing your favourite dress and your great heels, or as a guy you're wearing a lovely iron shirt and a nice pair of trousers? You stand differently, you think differently about yourself. So I use clothes personally for when I need to make important calls, if I'm working you know, on a day perhaps I'm not working, I'm not in the office. So to use that to make you, to sort of set the scene, if you like.
And actually, I would really recommend this question of how you stand, how you sit, where you breathe from. They are really important. I mean, with sales calls, my favourite thing to do is stand up, because my confidence is automatically flowing better, because my energy flows better when I stand than when I sit. So that's a little tip that I would certainly recommend. Just a couple of final questions for you, really. So this question of how somebody stands in their power, how do you know when you're in your power?
I know when I'm in my power when I catch sight of myself as I'm walking past a mirror and I'm smiling at myself.
Great.
Or if I find myself whistling, or if I'm just... I just feel happier. I think I know when I'm not in it when I have no energy, when I don't want to do anything, when even the things that normally I would love to do, like pick up that inspiring book, I'm just not motivated by it. All I want to do is perhaps pick up a packet of crisps and watch the television. Then I know, uh-oh, here's the warning signs. And that is the time I need to get outside, get in nature, go for a walk, go and speak to some inspiring friends.
And that's one of the things that is absolutely critical when you realise you're not in your power anymore, is to do something about it. That's something I find with coaching clients all the time, is this recognition perhaps that they've gone off track at some point, but there's no willingness or there's low willingness to actually do something about it, to get outside, to get active. That's a fantastic one, to drink more water, to read the book, to talk to the person. That's the critical factor. It's not the fact that you've gone in and then back out of your power. We all do that. It's the fact that you then do something about it when you lose it, when you lose that power. So thank you so much. If somebody wants to get in contact with you and find out more about communicating your brilliance, where do they come, Lucinda?
They can look at my website, which is lucindaslater.com.
And if they want to phone you?
It's 0845 050 4576.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us. And for our listeners, our next guest will be Nick Williams on the next show, talking about inspired entrepreneurship. So this has been Feel Good with Joe. You can find out more about my work on joannesumner.com. Brooklyn's Radio.